Isaiah chapter 58, I'll start from there. What I want to teach today, I'm titling it The Fasted Life. What did I call it? The Fasted Life. And I taught something like this some time ago. It's titled The Fast of God, under our Living the Godly Life series. I'm sure what I'm going to say today, I can't remember exactly what I said then, but I'm sure they're going to be very similar. But we can't say these things enough, all right? It's important we understand it. All right, Isaiah chapter 58. Let me start reading from verse 1. Where I'm reading is very long, so I'm going to jump a few verses. All right? From verse 1, it says, "Cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day, and delight to know my ways." That's what they claim. That's in verse 2. "As a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God, they ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God." That is, that's what they are looking for. They want God to intervene on their behalf. They want the power of God manifested in their lives. And now this is what they say when they don't experience that. In verse 3, he says, "Why have we fasted and thou dost not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and thou dost not notice?" Now that's what they were complaining about, that we have fasted, please notice that, and God is not responding. We have humbled ourselves and God does not take any notice. He said, behold, this is the answer that God is giving them. This is the problem. On the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked feast, that is a product of your fast. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Please notice something. The fast they were practicing is a day, all right? They choose a particular season, they choose a particular time, and they do this religious activity. God says, is it for the bowing, for bowing one's head like a reed? Is that the fast I've chosen, he was saying, and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? He said now, verse 6, is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen, now notice something, he didn't say a day, he said to loosen the bonds of wickedness. That is, the fast I'm choosing is not a matter of a day or a season, but this is a fast that I have chosen. To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke. Is it not, that is my fast not to divide your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Now if you do all these things, he said in verse 8, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. Now, notice earlier, they were looking for this light and this recovery, and they fasted to get it. And they now said, we have fasted, and God did not notice, in verse 3, and we have humbled ourselves, and God did not notice, all right? Now, God said, that thing you are looking for, if you do the proper thing, verse 8, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. And your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Now, this is the result. Then you will call, without having to punish yourself, and choose a day to bow down your head, and choosing a day to go hungry, and to be in difficulty. On that day you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and before you begin to punish yourself, he will say, here I am. Now this you will experience if you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness. And if you give yourself to the hungry, and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, he said, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you, and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations. and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Now, let me just read verses 13 and 14. I'll rush through this because of time. If because of the Sabbath you turn your fruit from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, this is how you honor the Sabbath, by desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will delight in the Lord, that you will experience the nearness of God, and you will make, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. He said, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, please, notice this. I wanted to read verse chapter 56, but I won't read it now because of time. We have spent quite a bit of time reading this. But if you go and read that, chapter 56, God explains something. No matter what you are experiencing, he said in verse 1, if you preserve justice and do righteousness, all right, if you will experience the salvation of God as about to come. He said, no matter what you have experienced, in verse 3, he said, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. He said that all they need to do, in verse 4, is to keep my Sabbath and choose that which pleases me and hold fast my covenant. Let me read that again. He said, all you need to do is to keep my Sabbath, choose that which pleases me and hold fast my covenant. If you do that, I will give in my house to you and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. Now, because I don't want to waste, I don't want to spend time reading that. Okay, I just rushed through it. Okay, open your Bibles also to the book of Matthew chapter 25. If you read from verse 31, it said, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. Now in verse 34, it says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? Because I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. In prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Because they'll be surprised. They never met him. They never fed him. Or thirsty, and we gave you drink. And when did we see you as a stranger and invited you in? Or naked? When did we find you naked, and when did we clothe you? Now, he said all of this, and then verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will now speak to the accursed one in verse 41, and the story will be turned around. That is, he will tell them, depart from me, I don't know you. And they will say, how come you are talking to us like this? You say, because you did not give me help when I needed it. And then the answer will be, when was it that we ever saw you that we didn't give you help? And then he'll say the same thing to them. Verse 45, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Now, those are the scriptures I wanted to read. And I think I've finished with that. I can now begin to say the things I want to say. Now, as you know, this whole year we have been dealing with what? Faith basics. The fundamentals of faith. It is interesting, all right, that we still have to be talking about these things these days. Of course, it's very important because generally in the body of Christ, we seem to have deviated from the basics. We don't even know where the foundation is anymore. So let's rediscover our foundations, stick with them, and all other things will be added onto us. The fact is that, and that's what I've been trying to teach to believers, if you learn the basic things of Christianity, you do those things that are right. Do you understand my point? You will find out that the deeper and harder things will come to you easily. My best example all the time that I like to give is a matter of walking in the will of God and discovering the will of God. It is not difficult. It is not difficult at all. And listen to me, you don't have to learn any hard method. Just do the things that are right and do them all the time. And when the time comes for you to do the things that are not commonly known, if you have followed God all the time in the integrity of your heart, God will lead you in the path of righteousness for his own namesake. Are you getting my point? Settling down and learning methods on how to discover the will of God and all of that is not necessary. If you will walk by the one that is recorded, the one that everybody can easily perceive, if you walk by those ones, you will not have any problem at all when the difficult things are supposed to come. The problem with people is that they don't want to walk by the simple and basic and everyday one. Then they want to suddenly hear God. Where should I move to Abuja or move down to Kotangora? They don't know. There are five people that want to marry me. Which one do I marry? Should I marry? That's when they now want to find out. That's where problems begin. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? If we stick with the foundational things and work with them every day, we discover that the harder ones will come, they become easy for us. I hope you understand the point. And so that's what we're trying to do in this Faith Basics series, all right? Now, what I want to talk about today is a matter of fasting. Amen? Fasting, the normal fasting that you know. I just want to put it in purpose, a proper perspective so that we can do what is right, all right? And not just be enjoying ourselves and getting no results. You saw from what we read then, Isaiah chapter 58, the people fasted and got no results. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, they were fasting to get something done and the thing was not being done. But they were good enough to ask questions. Why have you fasted and we have not noticed? I think that Christians will do, and this is what I really want to debunk. I want to try and get us off this. You know, we try to find something that is, let me say, a method to do something. We do that and we expect a result. Let me say, I've been somewhere before and a man said that, look, everybody who has fasted, there's no how God will not bless you more than those who did not fast. And I told myself, that's a lie. Because what he meant is that all those of you have refused to eat for the last 5 days or 7 days. Now it's time for your breakthrough. All right? God is going to reward your hunger. He's going to reward your weakness. He's going to reward the bowing down of the head like he read, like Isaiah was saying there. He's going to reward it. There was a time some people said that to get real breakthrough, they were counting days. If you fast for 20 days, you'll get level 1 breakthrough. If you fast for 40 days, you'll get level 2. But those who are really going to break the breaking through and break through with mighty force through the walls of Jericho, they are the ones that will complete a longer one, all right? I know, may God give you understanding so that you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I heard those things, then they told me who said it. I didn't give a damn who said it. I said it's not true. Now, this was more than 10 years ago. I told the people it's not true. God can never allocate blessing by counting the number of hunger days. He doesn't do that. No, some things are not just Christianity. I wish you get the point. You know, there are things you will hear. All right? Like they say that the doctor says you want to get healed, you should only take your medicine facing the east. You know there is not a doctor that said it. I don't know what I'm saying. You don't even have to argue whether it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. That a doctor told you that the key to removing this lump that's inside your stomach is that this tablet he has given you can only be taken facing the east. You will know that guy is not a medical doctor. Doctors normally give time of the day and quantity. This medicine shall be taken 3 tablets, morning, afternoon, and night. It is not part of medical knowledge and medical jurisdiction. Pardon my English. So that saying, you take your medicine, all right, facing the east or the west or the south or the north. So there are things you just hear. You say, this is not Christianity. So if a man tells me that God says the number of days of fasting that he used to allocate blessing, I say, that's not Christianity. You have added something to it that he could not have said. Let me say it to you again. Don't be carried away by God said. There's a prophet God sent somewhere and God said to him, don't do this. All right? And a man told him, God said to me, you should do it. And he did it and God killed him. God didn't care that somebody lied to him. Please, I hope you're getting my point. What am I saying? You must know the kind of things that God will say and the kind of things he will not say. You know, I've told you before, there are times people tell me that God said this, and I tell them in my mind, God doesn't smoke. You know, you're only a man who smokes, all right? And when I say smoke, and I don't mean cigarette too. I mean wee-wee, you understand what I'm saying? Only a man who smokes wee-wee will normally be of this character and then turn tomorrow and say, this is now my new character. Abba. What am I saying? We must understand what really is Christianity. There are things I hear, I just say, this one is not Christianity. I need to explain something here. Now, let me go back to that thing I was saying. Christians often do this, and I've been saying it again and again. I want you to just hear it and learn it. We tend to like to learn methods of doing things. I told you recently, a woman came to me and said, Pastor, explain to me why this has not happened. Do I pray for it? And suddenly, in my mind, I perceived, and I told her, I perceive you in Pentecostal. What I meant is that you have done 5 steps. You're looking for the 6th one. I said, God is not the God of steps. Listen, that's why anytime I want to give you steps and principles, listening one after the other, I always tell you this is banky zone. Do you understand what I mean? It's just my easy way of passing a truth across to you. For example, I'm talking about how to quieten your soul. You understand? I gave like 4 or 5 steps there. And I said, it's just my way of making it easy to communicate. But what we do a lot of times, I want to break God down into steps. That is, this is how, if you want a new car, this is how you do it. He said, how much do you earn? He said, 100,000. I said, okay, fine. So you will take 10,000 of that. It's not your own. It's your tithe. They take another 10,000 to, it's called value-added tithe. And then you will take another 10,000 as a special seed towards the car. Then you shall give the seed. Then in the morning, you shall picture the kind of car that you want. In the afternoon, you shall call it. And at night, you shall imagine that you are sitting inside it. Then you do that for 4 days. By the 15th day, the spare tire will have arrived. Then, now you break it down like that, After, you understand my point? Even you know it doesn't work. You've tried it before. If you haven't tried it, say amen. Don't bother. All right? We like it like that. That's Christianity for you. We want to know the method of getting a car. Then we write a book on it, file it, and put it in the shelf. He said, "Ah, bro, Pastor Bank, please, I'd like to buy a car." I said, "Oh, have you read the book on that method?" "No, go ahead and just take the book. You get the car, you understand?" Then one said, "How do I get my healing?" We have another one. Then how do I travel abroad? We have another one. How do I get promotion? We have all those steps, all right? That is Buddhism. Do you follow my point? That's not Christianity. I've been telling you again and again. That is not Christianity. Christianity is not a matter of methods. It's a matter of a relationship with somebody who is alive and who has more intelligence than you have. That's why he used to say things like, even though you, wicked by nature, can give good things, all right, to your children, how much more your heavenly Father who is in heaven? Do I have to go through all this method as if he's hard of hearing? Do you get my point? I mean, can't we just say simply and let him understand? Why do I have to use all kinds of methods? Okay, maybe he's angry. Talk to his mother. You know, those kind of funny things. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, listen. You know the kind of God that you are dealing with. All right? Everybody does it. The Catholics have their own, the Pentecostals have their own crazy way of doing things. You know, just trying to make God impersonal. As if he doesn't think. He said, how come the man was not accident and he died? He said, that morning God was speaking to him, did not hear. I said, You, assuming that you have a son, he wants to enter a car that's about to die, you speak, he doesn't hear, what do? You slap him, beat him, tie him up. Do you get my point? God will not make a man die in an accident just because he refused to listen to one instruction one morning, don't enter that car. So now I say, do you want to live long? You have to go and learn how to practice to hear the voice of God. So when you want to enter a car that's about to kill you, you will hear it quickly. Say around nonsense. God will deliver me whether I hear a voice or I don't hear a voice. Like I always say, he's alive, he's well. If you're my friend, I love you. And I mean, I know you don't speak Yoruba, and I speak Yoruba, and you are sitting on an Al-Qaeda bomb, going off in 5 minutes. Why should I speak it to a language you don't understand? I will wrestle you off that seat. 5 minutes later, you will know why I did it. Are you following what I'm saying? This is Christianity. To build a relationship with God, that's what Christianity is. That's what Christianity is. To build a relationship with God so that he will want to deliver you, because there are those he doesn't want to deliver. There are those who he wants to send into the trouble, sir. Please, I need to explain this properly. And that's what I'm preaching today, to explain that principle, to that issue of life to us again. Christianity is not about methods, or the word I like to use is our crisis moments. Things to do just in the time of crisis. Christianity is not how you go to church, which church you go to, how you people stand when you pray, or how you sit. That's not what it is. Christianity is not about forms of worship. I talk about the fasted life, right? I will use fasting as an example to explain this thing I'm trying to say properly. People put a lot of emphasis in Christianity on hunger when it comes to improving the potency of prayer. I will first say it goza, you know, in a gozali manner. Just say it point blank so that you can get shocked and then we can explain. As a matter of fact, whether you eat or not has absolutely nothing to do with the potency of your prayer. I like to say it like that. God does not gauge your glucose level before he decides the answer level. He doesn't have a barometer for measuring the fullness of your stomach to check whether your prayers make sense. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. We must get that clear. People will say that if there is a problem, then you go and fast and then you pray and then God will answer. If you go and read that, if you go back to that, don't bother opening to it, we've read it, Isaiah chapter 58 that we read a while ago. God says something. This is a problem with people. They put their energy on what I don't count as important. They want answers. It didn't start today. See, there are very few things that started today. In fact, there's nothing. The only things that start is technology is the only thing that changes on the earth. Yes, it's true. Maybe there were no computers years ago. But there's nothing new. This human habit, this religious habit we have today, didn't start today. They were doing that time too. When they wanted to get answers, what they did was to fast, and then they prayed. And to their amazement, God was not responding. And God was saying that this is the problem. He said, for you, a fast is a day. It's a day to do something, a day not to do the other thing. I see all the time, anything you know is right to do, do it. Was it on Tuesday, or when was I preaching here? I explained the principle. Okay, it was on Tuesday. That I went to a meeting once and people were talking about women. They're talking about women, how to get your husband to do this and to get your husband to do that. And they said, you see, you cook for him, you speak nicely to him, you kneel down for him. You know what I said? They say hunger is the quickest way to a man's stomach. Sorry. That the stomach is the quickest way to a man's heart. And I qualify the Banking's principle is that's only for a hungry man. If a man is hungry, the quickest way to his stomach is food. If a man was full, the Bible says it clearly, if his soul loses his best food, he doesn't want it. He loses the best food, no matter how good it is, all right? So that's principle of hunger being the quickest way to a man's stomach. Sorry, stomach being the quickest way to a man's heart is for hungry people, amen? I hope you understand it, all right? So I said I was there, and the women were talking, and explaining. And one woman asked a question, what if you have done all of this? And still, the man does not respond. Then the answers were coming. At that time, I couldn't hold myself anymore. Though I had promised my wife I wouldn't speak, I had to get up to speak in that meeting. And I said, this is a problem with we Christians. I told them like that. We don't give except we want to get. Do you understand my point? We don't respect our husbands and honor him and feed him properly except we want to bribe him and entice him as if he's a devil or something. And so when he doesn't quickly respond, you say the man is hard. Meanwhile, it's a righteous man who has seen beyond your the urukuruku you are trying to do. Do you understand? And I said then to them simply, I said, listen, this is wrong. That's not Christianity. No matter who has preached it to you, all right, it's not Christianity. Why should a woman be submissive to her husband because it is the right thing to do? Why should a woman cook good food for her husband because it is the right thing to do? Do you understand my point? Why should a man love his wife? It's because it is the right thing to do. Are you getting my point? You say, if you want your wife to agree to make love to you, you must talk to her sweetly from morning. I say, is it a special sacrifice now that we have to participate in? I say, listen, you talk to a woman nicely all the time to the best of your ability. That's what you're supposed to do all the time. Why? It is the right thing to do. A lot of our gospels are colored by selfishness. We sit down there and we say things that appeal to the soulish and unregenerated human being. Things that are not Christianity. Do you understand my point? It's very common. I've seen people preach about how to raise money for the gospel. They say, always show people what they want to get. That's why you enter and you watch TV. They will say, for your offering this month, we will send you this. If you send this offering, we will send you this. I've read and people have explained to me why they do that. And the person was trying to explain that wish the rest of us should do it. That human beings are like that. They want to see what they are getting for the money they are releasing. I said, it is not Christianity to descend to their level. The Christianity as a preacher to rise up and teach them that which is right. That's why virtually every preacher you see on American television is selling something. You've not noticed it. Just tune to TBN. They're not trying to be wicked. They're just, if I'm the one, I stubbornly refuse. I stubbornly refused. If you give an offering of $100, we'll give you this handkerchief. If the offering is $200, we'll make it pure cotton. If the offering is $500, we'll now give you a special plaque. And the reason is because we are trying to appeal to the human flesh that's in Christians. They want to give, you want to show them something that they're going to get. What do you do? They had better learn to receive their reward from God. Are you following what I'm saying? So we fashion gospel that appeal to human flesh, and it's not right. Please get what I'm trying to say. So you see, Christians, we like that thing. We want to tie one result to everything. And what I'm preaching to us today, all right, using that fasting as an example thing, is that most of the time, in fact, apart from baby Christians that God is trying to train, all of the times you profit nothing for all those things. Nothing. 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 Sometimes you get results. It's called coincidence. Literal coincidence. God was going to bless you. The day before, you now jumped up on your left foot. So he blessed you in the afternoon. You now think it is the left foot jumping that morning or the day before. No, really. It happens in medicine. We have that. We have some diseases we call self-limiting disorders. In fact, a very good example. You know what they call Apollo? Yes, this epidemic viral conjunctivitis. All right? We call it Apollo, commonly. Apollo has 17,225 treatments. I just invented that figure, right? What I mean is that there are all kinds of treatments. You know how each one comes? Depending on what somebody was doing when his own went away. But as a matter of fact, Apollo always goes away after about 7 days. It has nothing to do with your faith. It has nothing to do with your nutrition. It has nothing to do with the medicine you took. Except God wants to punish you specially. That's when your own won't go. But human beings don't know that. You know, wake up in the morning. You say, put salt in water and put it in your eyes. You put it for 2 days. It does not work. Then you change it to sugar. They say, did you put garlic? You say, no, put garlic. On this 5th day, you start putting garlic. On the 6th day, it starts improving. 7th day, it vanishes. Then you start preaching the gospel of garlic, salt, and water. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's what happens. And that's what happens sometimes in Christianity. They say, when you have done this, it doesn't work, try praise. What does that mean? When you praise long enough, it doesn't work, you try worship. If you worship long, it doesn't work, you vex for God. One of them must work. Again, that's not Christianity. So the men will fast, believing that that is how to break the bonds, all right, of whatever affliction they have. And God is saying categorically, that is not true. He said, there are things you are supposed to do. So he said, is my fast a day? The answer is, no, it is not. My fast is a lifestyle. Are you getting my point? God said, verse 6, is this not the fast which I choose? People say, you see, what God is saying is that the day that you are fasting, you must do these things. No! He said that my fast has nothing to do with your hunger. My fast, the fasted life that I have chosen for you is a life, listen, in which you loosen the bonds of wickedness that are coming out of you. He said, my fast is a life, all right, that allows the oppressed go free. He said, if you do all these things, this episodic hunger that you go through will be unnecessary because your recovery, he said, your light will break out like the dawn and your recovery will speedily spring forth. Let me say this to you, which is what I'm trying to preach today. I want Christians to understand that Christianity is not about church. People have tried to tell me several times, if you held this your meetings on Sundays, all right, more people will come. I said, that's the reason why I won't do it on Sunday, because I don't want those who want to go because it's Sunday. If we speak on natural plane, I know as a matter of fact, if I change services, the meetings here, to Sunday morning, of course, that's what we call church, amen? Half of you will first disappear, which is good, it's righteous, you should, all right? Because he said, this guy in Ajaguda, he told us he was not going to do it. Then, 5 times the number that left, we appear. Yes? Unless God just wants to make a point to me, say, Banky, I will show you Pepe. Nobody will come. You know, God does that anyway. You all carry some wicked angels around the place. And then people are coming. Whoa! Slap somebody. Person say, Kai. Anytime I get to that place, I have this bad feeling. My ear starts paining me. And in the mosque next door, we gather more people in Eastern Nigeria than you. That you know that God is really specially against you. But apart from things like that, really. No, people will generally, you turn out more people, you know. Uh-huh. Now, but why I don't like that is because of what I do. I like to teach disciples, people who are hungry for the word of God. That's why when you show up, we pray and I start teaching. I finish teaching, we take announcements and we disappear. Because it has a purpose. The purpose is to teach. And since that is the purpose, all right, I am not interested. I said Jesus had a great ministry, different kinds of ministries. He had a ministry that a lot of people like till today. Gather plenty of crowd, but didn't used to teach the crowd anything. Used to tell them stories, all right, and just perplex them. Work a few miracles and everybody will go away. The more the bread, the more the crowd. Am I lying? That's the truth. They came to him one day. He said, Baba, we've been looking for you. He said, where you go? He said, Jaguda. You are looking for me not because of any other thing, but the free, you know, now we don't have to work again. That guy, they produce. He said, because of that, he said, wait. I'm not doing it again. They want to turn him to a church of free bread. I don't have that. He used to move back, all right, to the disciples, all right, and then teach those ones. And that's where my own ministry is. There are those who multiply bread. It's good. Not a bad one. Jesus did it, all right? So if you can multiply bread, you are still a Christian, amen? Continue to multiply bread. But just not my area. I don't know how to multiply bread. Do you follow? Yes. I don't know how to do it. Now, why am I talking about that? He said it is Sunday. How can you be anywhere else apart from church on a Sunday? And to some people, it is Christianity. I've told you before, a man saw C.A. Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, an American, and he looked at Spurgeon. Spurgeon was smoking. I think a pipe or something. How can you, a preacher, smoke? And the guy looked and said, how can you, a preacher, be fat? Because D.L. Moody was around, Spurgeon used to smoke. In America, smoking was a sin. In England, fatness was a sin. It shows you are not fasting. You see what I'm saying? So we make habits of things that God did not command about, that he didn't say they were good or they were bad. All right? Now, nothing wrong with things that are good discipline. Cigarette smoking is sin unto your body. It is a better sin than lying. More Christians tell lies than smoke. More Christians are engaged in jealousy and envy than in cigarette smoking. But they feel more righteous than the man that smokes but does not tell lies. Some people, the only thing they have against Barack Obama is that if only he will stop smoking, they will support him. You don't know he smokes. Just look at his mouth, you will know. But the same people are angry, they are envious, they are jealous, they are lazy, they have every form of wicked works that the Bible describes, but they consider themselves better Christians than somebody else who's just killing himself. You know, he's drinking poison. Now, please, I'm explaining the principle here, all right? We focus on those things, and when we don't do this, that, we think we are good Christians. Because we have carved out one or two, what they call taboos for ourselves. Then when a man wants to pray, I've seen a young man tell me once, I know this guy for all kinds of bad works. Not all kinds, but some crucial bad works. They say, Banky, this matter is up. You know you're a Christian now. You know this is time to fast. You will fast and you will hold God and say, God. And I was looking at him. So you know God can be held. You know he can be chased after. Why are you still living the way you are living? As a matter of fact, he will give me testimonies. When this matter came up, I declared a 3-day fast. And I'll be looking at him. You did? And God answered you. He's trying to entice you to repentance. It is not the fasting. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? That is, what we do is that we just create those things and then sit there. And this is where I'm going. to, will now do them periodically. Like this, I say I'm using fast as an example. People will now say that, yes, it is time to fast. What is going on? You know, this year is starting. We want to pray that this year will be successful. Therefore, we are going to fast for 5 days or 8 days or 20 days or whatever number of days, all right? So that we'll be able to pray effectively so that the year will be successful. Listen to me, that is not Christianity. It does not improve the potency of such prayers. I know what I'm saying. Let me tell you what God is saying here. In fact, you've read it. That he said, this is what I call fasting. There are things that Christians are not supposed to do. So what you do is that you don't do them. Let me say something, all right? I've said it several times. Pastor Banky, what is wrong with fasting? There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing good about going hungry. There's nothing special about going... Listen, please, hear me well. Whether you're hungry or you're full makes no difference. What you need, all right, is the ability to concentrate and to have and not be weighed down by anything. Do you hear what I said? Listen, if you have worries and you go to pray and you spend all the time worrying about your problems, it is worse than having a full stomach. Listen, this is the lesson I like to use. A man tells me that he's fasting. He says, what have you seen in our church? We are fasting this week. He wakes up in the morning, like this last 2 or 3 weeks, I have been extremely busy. And in fact, if you've been coming on Tuesdays, you'll have seen it has reflected in my attendance on Tuesdays or my performance on Tuesdays. It's like I show up, I run. Sometimes I come late, I disappear. I've been very busy for the last few weeks. Let us assume that one of the things, of course, you know the job I do, all right? One of my jobs is to teach students. Now, on Tuesdays, okay, let me something like last week Wednesday, one of these recent Wednesdays. There was a particular Wednesday I give lectures for a total of 5 hours. I did two hours in UNEC here, then made a few phone calls and then took a short break and drove down to Ituku, the teaching hospital, and gave another 2.5 hour lecture. All right? And the next day, I returned to give another 2 hour lecture in the morning somewhere else, and again in UNEC. Now, imagine that we are fasting. And I wake up. Now, it's not just go there, talk. This lecture you have to prepare, make your PowerPoint, all right, presentation. In fact, this one I had to set questions, discuss with the people because most of these lectures were postgraduate, all right? So I had to really prepare and go there. That is, while I'm doing that, I'm not thinking of Bible, I'm not talking about the future, I'm not thinking of the realm of the spirit, I'm just thinking of pathology, problems, diseases, do you understand, lectures. Then let's ask me, want to start the lecture, and I say that, praise the, no, sorry, you don't say praise the Lord, do we? No. Just say, good morning. Guys, please don't mind. I'm kind of tired, you know. I church for fasting this period. I can't talk very loud. And they can't talk very loud, you know. We're fasting. Say, sir, what's the problem? Say, nothing serious. It's fast. I just fast. All right. Today I'm teaching you about the pathology of, let's say, tuberculosis. Now, I feel very righteous. That's what most Christians do. You explain that it's a fast. You have become very ineffective as a lecturer. That's not what I'm even talking about. What I'm talking about more is the fact that you are not even concentrating on anything spiritual. The only thing is that you are hungry. And I take those 4 hours I was telling you about. In between, I don't eat or drink anything. Are you getting my point? And then I go for more lectures and I keep teaching. Finally, 6 o'clock, Akbayo, I have not died yet. Where is the food? Then they say, okay, you must pray before you break the fast. So you go lie down somewhere. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will bless me. Amen. Bless me. Amen. Amen. Okay, it's 6 o'clock. And I go to the process of breaking. Listen, it's very common in Christianity. And as I'm saying it, as much as I'm saying it, listen, my brethren, that's not what a fast is. That one does not help you in any form. I've seen salesmen get up in the morning. I remember one day, one brother told me something. He said, Doses used to fast a lot. And that he used to see things very clearly. And I told him, I said, sir, I'm a doctor. When you're hungry, you will see visions. His wife laughed. When you're hungry, you will see all kinds of things. Your ears will start singing. It's not angels in heaven. It's called tinnitus. That's what we call it in medicine. No, hunger is what the problem is. I know what I'm saying. How can you get up as a salesman in the morning, making one visitation after the other, and you are claiming that God must bless you because you refused to eat before you went out? It's not Christianity. What is real fasting in that sense? All right? It is to seclude yourself. Go to a corner. Food, I say, at such times, is only a problem because of the distraction that it constitutes. So if you are so-called fasting and your phone is on, those phone calls are more distractions than two slices of bread and a cup of Milo. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Now, look, like I said, I'm just using fast as an example. Let's take money again as an example, which I said earlier, just to illustrate further. It's the beginning of the year, so this year must be good. So what do? We sow a seed towards the year. We take money. There are churches that collect your whole first month salary. They call it first fruits. It's not Christianity. Sometimes it borders on wickedness. You collect my tithe every month for the year. Then you collect the whole of January salary on top of it. And you see one special seed in between waiting. Are you God? What is left to serve God's self? Hey, sometimes, you know, churches amaze me. We claim we're walking by faith and two common spiritual sense and threw it away. And you know, we are like Western countries' government. We always find new ways of taxation. After I've collected your tithe, I collect your first fruit, then special offering, then vows, then breaking open the doors of wickedness seed. By the time I finish, if you don't go poor, I won't leave you alone. I tell Christians, a life you cannot live constantly, don't live it episodically. Don't! Don't! You see, we don't understand. We sit in shadows. We don't go for what is real. A Christian must learn to be generous. Do you get my point? A generous man is a what the Bible calls a cheerful giver. He's just a giver all the time. In January, he's a giver. February, is a giver. March, is a giver. By December, he's still giving. It's just part of his soul. He's not trying to think that, have I given? No! Do you get my point? It's not as if, have I given? One brother once, I've used the illustration many times, but it's one of those things that made it impossible for me to believe in this practice of tithing that is preached in Christianity today. I have seen it all ways in which people have just insulted the sensibility of the things of God with it. A man said his things was missing. And I began to pray for recovery. I was about to start rebuking the revorer. He just realized that, I have not paid my tithe. And he said, okay, God, I have to plead on mercy. Your tithe will not work this time because I owe it. So God has become an insurance company. Yes, now when you don't pay your premium, no coverage. And this God is so wicked that once your premium expires, no, there are things you just hear. Say, this cannot be Christianity. It can't be. So I said, okay, so I remember I was invested. I said, so you came to God to plead works. Then it failed, you changed to mercy. Why don't you just plead the mercy constantly? So that you never have to remember whether you paid the tithe or you did not pay it. Kingsley is not around. I was going to be around today. Kingsley, he said something. He said, when he met me, Kai, that I liberated him. Because of bondage that he was in. Because of his own understanding of what they call tithe. If somebody gives you money on the road, as you are going on the road like this, he says, but how now? I just feel like blessing you. I just dash you 1K. Make a mental note. This, thank God for phones that can store information. Just say, I got 1,000 naira today. And then, 100 naira I'm owing. Is the owing part of it that's the problem? I'm owing. Kingsley said he was always in an accounting distress, him and God. He said, God, have I checked the receipt? Did I pay you for that money? And one man said, it's called the whole tithe. So Christians have not been paying the whole tithe. So what is the whole tithe? If they dash you a recharge card, you will tithe the recharge card. I said, I ain't tithing the recharge card. I'll send the phone to God. Make your call. I will send the phone to God. Say, which kind of thing? Make your call. She said, since you want a tenth of it, it's 100 minutes that the money they gave me bought. So 10 minutes, call. Because I don't have anybody to call. Any preacher around, pastor, do you want to call anybody in your church? Take. And you finish calling, I call my but as to give you money, na lie. I'm talking about the fasted life. But the generous man, there are times you give him a whole recharge card and he gives somebody else who needs more than him. Do you get my point? Yes. His whole salary can come and he says that there is something more important than the things I have to do that this money will serve. And he gives it there. And unlike my friend who pleads God's mercy only when he's owing the tithe, he pleads God's mercy all the time. And let me explain something to us. There is nothing for the steps to use when it's time for marriage. There's nothing for the steps to use when it is time for childbearing. There's nothing for the steps to use when it's time for Christianity. For prosperity. There's just a whole life of Christianity. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is what I'm trying to explain. So when people come to me and they want to ask specific advice about something, that's why, I told you, I don't like counseling people who I don't know. Because it's absolute headache. Because the person you are counseling expects to tell the stories in 15 minutes and you're supposed to give an answer in 5 minutes and pray another 3 minutes and the whole problem should be ended in 10 minutes, in total of less than 30 minutes. Story 15 minutes, answer in 5 minutes, prayer in 3 minutes, thanksgiving for the rest of the time and manifestation of the prayer. Meanwhile, this young woman has formed a whole mindset for the last 15 years. None of which agrees with me or the word of God. But he thinks he qualifies because he goes to church. Listen, I've said it several times. I can't say it enough. Christianity is not about church going. It's not about church activity. It's not about even those spiritual activities. It is about a total life being formed that is conformed with the image of Christ. That's what it is. Then, when you have reached that level, if Lazarus dies after you have just finished the marriage in Cana of Galilee, it makes no difference. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Because Lazarus does not always fall sick before he dies. There are Lazarus that just are walking on the road. They stand, bam, fall down, dead. Jesus Christ, wake me up. What I mean is that there's no time to fast or do long prayers. Isaiah said, if you will walk like this, all right, before you even call, he said, then you will cry and I will answer. Before you have even gone out to start afflicting your flesh and bowing down the head. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you follow what I'm saying? That's why we lay the emphasis all the time. That listen, I have never been able to understand how Christians can go to church and the word of God is not paramount in their minds. As the thing they are looking for. Where's Jonathan? Jonathan and I went to preach somewhere last week. And I heard the pastor of the church pass a comment about one of the, that's a big pastor, about one of the pastors in the church, one of the pastors that he made pastors in the church, that the man doesn't come to church anymore. You know why? Because he made him the pastor in charge of their building project. So the man is always at the building site. Actually, before I finished the meeting, when they will finish the meeting, the man said, please, because he couldn't follow me, they had something to do in church, that whether I can just go to the building site and just bless the place before I leave. So his men took me there. And this man greeted me very nicely, introduced himself as the pastor, so and so and so. And suddenly I connected that this is the man this other man was complaining about. So one of the other pastors came out, elder, so and so, are you not coming for this meeting that's, you know, it's ending today or tomorrow? He said, no, I can't live here. Even Even the man who posted him there is tired of the fact that he never lives there. You know what they call building project? A church that will seat, if it's bad, 1,000 people, if it's too small. You know how long it's going to take? Bro is there every time. I was a guest minister invited from another town to come there, to come and preach. Even the senior pastor was so blessed, he said, I must come back. This guy didn't come near. He saw me only when I came to bless the building project. And it dawned on me that Bruce thinks this is the work of God. Let me say it again. Am I saying we will not work for God? No, I can't possibly say that. That's not what I'm saying. But anything we do for God must come out of the fact that we have been transformed by the word of God. Why did I talk about the fasted life? I use that fast as an example of the kind of things we do. We do it periodically, episodically. You understand? We just do one and then we run away. And we expect special blessing for that. That's what I tell you all the time. One day, I was eating somewhere and I went to a man's office. I was really hungry, so I said, can I have a snack? It's a friend. So they got me a snack and, you know, it's a soft drink. Then I said, are you not fasting? I said, I'm fasting. What is wrong with you? I'm fasting. So I was eating my meat pie and drinking my dessert. So, you know, they joined the fast. I said, which fast? I said, I did now. He said, but you're eating. I said, what's wrong with it? I'm hungry. I mean, if I'm hungry, I shouldn't eat because I'm fasting. It's the kind of things I used to do. That my wife said I was the strangest Christian she ever saw. I've left all that I had to do now to come to your office. You did not ask me whether I'm not fasting. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I'm sitting down and gisting politics, geography, history, everything with you. You have not asked me whether I'm fasting. Since I entered the office, we have not joined hands to say in the name of Jesus Christ, my church, bless, doctor, bless, laptop, I have not done anything like that. After perambulating and gisting worldly gist, I now ask for a snack. Then you are now asking me, am I not fasting? So I told him simply, Ogami, I'm fasting. He said, what about this food? I said, it's called hunger. I'm hungry. I hope you're following what I'm saying. No, open that Isaiah chapter 58. You see what I'm saying? Let me explain it properly. It said, the people have chosen a day. All right? That's in verse 5, Isaiah 58. He said, is he a fast like this which I choose? A day for a man to humble himself. That is to punish himself. That's the meaning of the word humble. For spreading out sackcloth and ashes and as a bed. Alright? For spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed. Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day? God was angry, disagreeing. He said, is this not the fast which I choose? A new lifestyle. That's what I'm emphasizing. I'm not emphasizing on a day. He said, if you do that, verse 8, your light will break out like the dawn. You will not need to humble yourself in that afflicting manner. If you walk before me in righteousness all the time, your recovery will speedily spring forth. He said, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. These are the things you will do. You will remove the yoke that is putting the yoke on other people. You will remove that from your midst. The pointing of finger. And they speak and speaking wickedness. You watch what you say. If you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness. Please notice this. God said, how your light rise in darkness? If you do the works that are right and you do them, let me add my own words, continually. You know what he said? There's something he said there which is very interesting. Verse 11, he said, the Lord will guide you continually. Not only when you declare a two-day fast of not eating. If you do the work that is right continually, the Lord will guide you, how? Continually. The Christian life cannot be compartmentalized. It's not possible. You know that money matter, I've said it so much, I'm sure I don't have to bore people who are here with it again. A Christian cannot sow a seed. This seed is towards my car. It's not Christianity. You can't take money, wrap it, and label. You know people say, give your offering a name. You not label it. Offering for promotion in my office. If you give it to me, I will spend it too. And I will pray for promotion in your office. But one thing I know for sure is that money isn't bringing promotion in your office. It's not. It won't bring it. It will not bring it. What should a Christian do? This is what he does. When it comes to money matters, he learns. Go and read my book, How to Work for God. How to Work for God and Grace to Prosper. Please read it. Imbibe it. You know, that my book, Grace to Prosper, you know, human beings are very fun. Once they pick the book, let me just say majority. Majority of those who read it, the first, you see this man smiling, he did it too. They first go to the back and go and read what I have to say about it. A lot of people, that's where they stop. Say, hey, pastor, forget me. Pastor Wang says it's not necessary. Which is very sad because that's not why I wrote the book. In fact, I put in the first segment of that book, all right? The beginning of that Titan segment, I put on top. If you read this and you stop giving, no be me. And what I said is that if you read it and you reduce giving, you have missed my point. But actually, all right, some people will reduce if they read that because they were walking out of legalism before. They were not doing it out of the liberty that's in Christ Jesus. This one I'm making. If somebody reads the whole book, there's one young man who was discussing this with my wife. And he says simply that any pastor who lays hold of that book, reads it properly, will buy for every member of his church. Because he understood what I wrote in there. And because throughout the book, in fact, one man read it and said that what I'm saying in effect, that proper Christian giving is 30%. I said minimum, you're just starting. That's how he interpreted it. I said, if you read the scriptures and you want to just apportion money, you will discover that just basic, because you just are basically comfortable and you are sharing out money, not less than 30% of your money will go out as offerings. And when I say offering, I don't mean church alone. No. I don't mean church alone. You will discover there are places where, for example, you were on campus. You knew how difficult it was as a student. I remember those days after I left school. Anytime any of my brethren from campus will come, and when they are going back, I will take all the money. If I remember one brother, the one day, he came to visit me as we were going. So, one day he came. There are two incidences I have in mind now. I took some of the money I had, and all the people that were together those days in school, that we used to sit down, have meetings, pray together, give this person this amount of money, give this person this amount of money, this person this amount of money, and this is your own money. I remember next time I went to campus, one of the people I sent the money to said, that the day she got her own portion. What happened was that there was something happening, I think, in fellowship, and she didn't have any money. And being a big sister, people used to come to her room to come and visit. And she was thinking like, dear Lord, let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Now this brother just arrived from Lagos. Said, hey, brought out the money, said, this is your portion. Bank said, I should give you. So she got up, disappeared to the market, bought plenty of things, and this is one thing about Christianity, arrange for the people who will come to visit, that they must have something to eat when they come. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I don't know the proportion of my money it was that I sent to them. No. I just know that I left school, I've left some of my friends behind there. And I know how it is, an average student, every offering is the will of God. I know the story once of how I left bread in the car. And I said, we're hungry, we're for a wedding. So I just bought bread. And then so the brother was, I said, how are we going to waste this bread now? He said, waste? He said, leave him first. We left in the car, we brought to go out. 5 minutes after we reappeared at the wedding venue, was on campus, the chapel on campus. One brother approached me and said, Pastor Banky, I heard that bread is your own. I said, most certainly. Can we gather of the remnants? Let's not something be wasted. I said, go ahead. As he moved, this is the point. I saw that people quickly run. You know. Now you leave that kind of setting. You now come out. Listen, you don't need anybody to preach tithing to you. What's wrong with you? Every month you will take some of the money that they are giving, even as Alawi. You will go back. Guys, you share something with them. They will gladly receive it. This day, every student has a phone, even if it's a Nokia 1001, you know, whatever it is. Thank God for MTN, buy and share. You get my point? Take 10 of their phone numbers, buy 1,000 Naira card, and push 100 Naira to each person. You will live long that way. The amount of prayers that will just be waking you up every day. When God, in the morning like this, God's about to start blessing people, there will be 20 people queuing up to bless only you. Listen, if you live like that, and a man starts preaching 10%, you will wonder, say, okay, we cross. That one is the one that goes to campus fellowship. The word that I'm participating in the propagation thereof, another one goes there. Oh, I come from a home. I have friends, I have parents, I have siblings, brothers and sisters. By the time you finish putting everything together, bros, it's good when God has taught you that material things don't matter. You won't be in a hurry to buy a car because the money won't be enough. You won't be in a hurry to be amassing material things because the money will not be enough. Then nobody can come and, you know, I see, you know, anyway, let me not sit on that matter. Sometimes I see preachers wants to just come and harass people because this one is a work of God. I tell myself, I say, okay, since last year, have I been serving the devil? Let me think about it. Oga, no. You will tell God, as this one was going on, my money is there. I say, God, he knows there are at least 1,000 other places that are equally important. And for information, the old man I gave money on the road 2 days ago also, you don't, what, that's why I read that scripture, not that scripture we read. That Matthew 25. In fact, I almost forgot it. That one is supposed to illustrate to us what God is talking about. There are those who think that Christianity is that fasting thing. Like I say, you know, I'm using that fast as a type now. So what do? When we see a special project, we jump at it. Because this is the work of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, this is the interesting part. Let me say this to you clearly. The things that God will judge you by when he wants to promote you in life are those things that you did not know they were him when you were doing them. Look, let me tell you the truth. The main thing that God will use to judge whether you are good or bad, you did not even know God was there. That's why I read that Matthew 25. The people, the righteous people of God, not the wicked ones, the righteous ones, God said, welcome, welcome. You really took care of me. He said, Master, you? Even they were wondering when they did anything for him. They said, when did we see you hungry and we gave you food? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That the very time that God was judging what he would do for them as judgment, good things I would do for them, they did not even know they were doing anything. That's why I said that once you can open your mouth and tell God, I did this so you will bless me, you've already killed the potency of that good work. Let me say it again. The moment you can point to something and claim that this is the reason God must bless you, you have just killed the potency. You have. That's why I say all the time, Christians, learn to do what is that which is right. And do it continually. That's why I preach the message, the switch of God's power. I summarized after talking for an hour. I said, this is the summary. It is a continual doing of good works. He says, sow your seed in the morning and at night, don't hold back your hands. Because you don't know which one will prosper. Or whether both of them are like we do well. Say, you don't know. That's a statement of fact. You don't know. That's why I was there, so then one man was preaching. He said, when he wants to pray, just tell God, you know this building, my money is there. You know this building, my money is there. This church work, my money is there. This one, my money is there. I often say, bros, come. I know you're a preacher. You may even have tied to bishop, whatever it is. Come and sit down. Let me instruct you. Once you open your mouth and say it, it doesn't have any effect anymore. This is the interesting part. The one that God will also use to condemn you, you don't know when it happened. You know, when God and Job were going to discuss, Job was talking about all the good things he did. I never did anything wrong. When God was going to answer, God said, can you create a star? That his inability to create a star is cause for judgment. When I was making this particular animal, Leviathan, where were you? So any man who does not understand how to make Leviathan is in trouble. Can you set boundary for the ocean? So if you don't know how to stop erosion, you know, by beach, you are gone. See what I'm saying? What's that God saying? Bible says that God does this thing so that all men may fear before him. So when you come, you say, God, you know, I can't do anything. I've only done the one that I felt I could do. And so we're not going to count that. There are many other things I'm supposed to do I have not yet done. So I'm not approaching you based on anything that I have done. I've just come by the power of the mercy that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let us talk. Listen, you see, you have to be careful. Don't put yourself in trouble. Because once you go to God and start counting good works, good works, good works, good works, then God will stand on the other side and start telling you the ones you did not do and you don't know how to do. Because those who God judged, he said to them, when I was hungry, you did not help me with food. And they said, no, say it. Say the day you came. Say it now. Let there be a judge between us, like Job will say. Tell us the day you came, or the whole universe here, oh, he's accusing me falsely so he can throw me to hellfire. Give a dog a bad name so you can hang it. Go ahead now. Like, you know, that's what Job was saying to God. He said, go ahead now. You know you are the judge of the universe. Nobody can answer you. But if only there was another judge, you would tell me what I did that was wrong. That's what Job was raking and raking about. And when God was going to answer, God just said, look at this boy. Can you make an atom? He said, no. After when he finished, you know, there's a story I like to tell. About Meltari in the gentle breeze of Jesus. How he was accusing one sister before God. How God shouldn't use her because she's proud. How God couldn't use that woman because of the things she's doing wrongly. And then when he finished praying, because the lady was proud, you know, God had used her to raise 3 dead people or so. I know Americans, they know how to make a show of everything. They want to carry this poor girl from Indonesia. They want to carry her to America to go and show how this young woman, you know, be on TBN, you know. She raised 3 dead people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They'll be interviewing her as if it's by any work on her part. So she too was getting carried away. So she was going around bragging. Have you heard? I'm going to America. My visa is ready. What do you have for? You know, it's just 3 dead people. You know, those people that died. And I pray for them like this. Anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know, to wake up from the dead. So now I'm going to America to teach them how to raise the dead. And a senior brother, who was not senior enough in the eyes of God, was very angry. So he went and knelt down to pray. And said, dear Lord, why are you doing this? See this sister, she's very proud. She's this. Why are you using her? Small use you use her and so see. We know they hear again. Why don't you just transfer that power to that other sister? Elderly woman, very nice, gentle, holy, righteous. Won't hurt a fly. That would have been better. When he finished praying, the Holy Spirit descended and began to answer him. He suddenly had a vision. In the vision, he saw an orchard, all right? Apples. And he saw a man and his son. The man owned the plantation. So they were walking between the trees. And the man was proudly showing off the trees to his son. And I asked his son, what do you think of the trees? The boy looked and said, Dad, I think they are useless trees. The man said, why? He said, look at this fruit on them. They are small and green. Real apple trees will have fat fruits, all right, that will be red. These ones are just tiny, tiny, small, small ones and green. And the man tapped the boy on the shoulder, said, don't worry. The fruit is just appearing. It will grow. It will become fat. It will become ripe. As soon as the vision ended, he got the point. That the person, and the Lord told him, the person you have seen, is just young. The fruit is still small. She will grow and she will become ripe. He said, as for that old woman you're talking about, one of the most stubborn children that I have. Now, let's talk, she knows the talk. No, God told him this. That woman is stubborn, difficult to correct. Because she doesn't talk, you think she's nice. Said, that one, I've given up. This girl, the guy, when the vision was through, he came down from the bed where he was lying down, crawled under it, and slept there. He felt so ashamed of himself. Earlier, he had gone to God praying, like he knew everything. What am I saying? That's how we behave sometimes when we approach God. We come counting things we think we know. And that's the problem. We have compartmentalized life. There's something Wale Oke said years ago, which I've never forgotten. He said, those that do things that count, never stop to count them. The things you can't, listen. Continue good work, so. Amen. I'm just letting you know that the day God will show up, you won't even be actively trying to please him. I hope you heard what I said. Listen. You have given $1 million to ministry. Amen. It's good. But the day God wants to count, it is 1,225 naira change that you left for one girl hawking. Because you just felt in your body that why is this small girl punishing herself like this? So you paid her with 500 naira, something you just said, leave the change. But when you were doing it, what you were thinking of, there was compassion that just arose in you for that young girl. But you know the interesting part? You don't remember. To you is nothing. After all, you're a million naira man. Are you getting what I'm saying? But God says, listen, your 1 million naira was motivated by plenty talk. And it was motivated by God. I'm going to sow a dangerous seed. And heavens will open. I know that's what they call heaven opening seed. You've not seen that one before? So you did it thinking you were opening the heavens. God said, it's not bad. It's good. Are you getting my point? Except that I didn't count it. The day you dropped that 500 naira, it was only 600 you had, and you gave it to an old man at 11 p.m. because you couldn't imagine this man being out here at this time without money to get home. It was the day you trekked home after paying a taxi, which you allow somebody else to enter. That's the one I will count. But there are men who never do it. They never give an offering except somebody's on their necks, promising heaven and earth. They never give an offering except they have tied a name to it. This offering is for my 25 hectares of land. No. They never do it. So when God comes at 11 p.m., he shows up as an old man. Say, my son, please, how do I get from here to Asata? And you finish describing. Say, is it a trekkable distance? And the man, and you say, why do you want to trek it? Hey, my son, don't worry. You want to trek it, you come down from the taxi and tell the taxi man, I've paid it. Okay, please take this man to where he's going. That's what you'll have done. But that day you look and say, old man, don't mind him. I wonder what he did with his youth. Now he's suffering. You close the door and you drive away. The next Sunday you show up with an offering. Who will give $1 million? I will wash your hand in oil. I'm man of God, here I am. And the angel said, God doesn't come to church. You know, I've told you before. God knows they go to church. You didn't know? God is not a Christian. I hope you know that. Yeah, he's not a Christian. Jesus was not a Christian. Jesus was Jesus Christ. It is those of us following him that are Christians. Are you following my point? So, he doesn't go to church. He goes to his throne. I wish you get my point. The church had better come to the throne. There are churches that don't come to the throne. Marketplaces. You understand what I'm saying? No, there was a temple. God don't come on. Jesus begs. Drive everybody away. Because the temple was no longer reaching the throne. It was reaching the center of Babylon, commerce. God doesn't go to church. The church had better go to God. I don't know what I get on trying to say. So some people appear thinking that, yes, this offering, this one is just God. And God says, I didn't come that day. Say, Lord, I gave $1 million to us. He said, God, which day? He said, so day. He said, Gabriel, were they here that day? He said, no, we didn't come here. We thought you came to church. They go, they go to church. I don't know. Now, you understand what I've said by all the things I've said? You understand the principle? That is the time you will be in the presence of God. It's not that time you were worshiping. Oh, Father, we just worship you. Oh, and your pastor comes and says, I feel the presence of God here. No, he's emotionally enraptured in the mood. He's good. It's not the presence of God. How do I know? Because those who experienced the presence of God did not even know that God came. Because the day God said, let me reward you, they said, when did you come? He said, remember that one, that young lady, that small girl, and that day. And you helped her. He said, that was me. Ah! Oh, God, you are dangerous, oh! He said, don't worry. I know if I show up in my true glory, the stingiest of you all will give the last naira he has. So I don't do that. You see what I call the fasted life now? You see what I call the fasted life? That we do Christianity every day. We don't compartmentalize into the day of fasting. If anything is wrong, we take our hands away from it. If it is right, we imbibe, hold it tight, and we work on it every day. Since I use the title fasted, let me just speak generally about it again. What is the role of fasting? Because you tell me that after all, the Bible says as a minister to God and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, yes, that is true. And I said it earlier. This is the issue. There are times regularly, every believer should set out time to meditate, all right? And to contemplate the goodness of God. And to, like we talked the other time, meditate on his word. Take that word and declare it. Now listen to me. At such times, everything is a distraction. Visitors are distractions. It's not only food. Hunger is only important in that food can be a distraction. That's what I'm trying to explain. Yes, we must take time out in fellowship to worship. At such times, you take away every distraction from the midst of us. That is what the Bible meant when it said they ministered to God and fasted in the book of Acts. Literally, what he meant was that they were ministering to God. And of course, how do they do that? Ministering to one another, singing songs of praise, sharing the word of God. And it's the time for eating came. And they refused to interrupt the meeting because they were doing something important. So the time for eating passed. It didn't mean they declared a 1-year fast. I hope you've gotten my point. I've said many things. What I've just tried to say in all of it is simple. Our Christianity must be part of every fiber of our being and every second of our lives. It's not something we do at certain times. You can't be a Christian in church and not be a Christian at work. When I start talking about how to preach the gospel, you will discover that your working place is the first place you reflect through Christianity. I've had testimonies before about the lives of people who claim to be believers. Some of them are very good friends. And the people talking to them say, if that man is the only reason why people go to church, I will never go there. And they are not talking about he's holy and he's making us feel unholy. No. They mean how he talks, how he relates to other people. I've worked in a place with somebody before, very religious, but everybody has an agreement on his character. He does not delight in the progress of anybody. No matter how religious you are, if that's your testimony, you are a bad representation of what Christ is. Now listen, it's a unanimous testimony, the person I'm talking about. Everybody agreed, including me preaching to you, that this man is sad when somebody makes progress. No matter how religious you are a bad representation of who Christ Jesus is. In fact, there are those that have ensured that it's harder to win people to Christ than it was before the people met them. Because before they were hearing on the road this, give your life to Christ or you perish. Then they came to your office and saw wickedness personified, jealousy personified, anger personified, stinginess personified. You can give offering in church, but nobody waited in your church, in your office that you attended or gave money to. But in church, Abraham's blessings are mine. You give your heart. You say, hey, God, this is for you. My offering basket. But you go to work. You heard that one of your staff. You know how much he or she earns. The son had an accident last week. They did not plan for it. The young boy was crossing the road. The car broke his leg. The driver ran away. and you couldn't visit. And as you are leaving, you say, "Okay, I know this is costing you money. Here is 5,000 naira." They have never seen you do it, though. Never. Nobody has ever seen you do that. Then when you are finished, then one day you now come. Like one governor, if you know who I'm talking about, you now go to the market and be preaching. There's one governor somewhere around who used to do that. Criminal. Killing people. Refusing to pay salaries. Then you now go to the market, let me not mention the name of the town. And start preaching the gospel. That is, the wicked people there just got more wicked. Yes, it's true. Because if these are going to meet in church, we know they go. After all, like one man, as another man, I heard his testimony. He saw a friend of his. And I want to say, "Praise God, amen, brother. Hey, how are you?" He called another person and said, "This is the kind of thing I hate. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I smoke, I drink, I womanize." Those are the characters of sinnerness in our modern day. You like my English, sinnerness. Those are the characters of a sinner these days. He said, "What I don't like is hypocrisy." He's a sinner. He said, "What I hate is hypocrisy." See, look at this boy doing here. Yeah, praise God, praise God. I know him. He's a man like me. Except that me, I won't lie about it. Look at him. Hey, I was ashamed when I heard the testimony. After that, look, you know, there's a God on the go church. He knows. See, young woman come, "Pastor, Papa, well done, sir. Papa, well done, sir." Then when the husband come, say, "John, I beg, come off the road." Hey, yeah. If you greet me in a way you don't greet Rocket, me and you will have problems. I'm serious. If you genuflect to greet me, then I'm going to observe where Rocket they pass. If he just knock his head, "Hey, small husband, how are you?" Don't let her come for Bible study again. I'll tell him to burn you at the door. If he says, "Oh, no, me, I don't care," say, wait. I'm going to have problems. If I don't. What I'm trying to say is that we think that, man of God, God is inside him. There are the place where God resides in your life. First, it's like, I used to tell my husband, my wife all the time. I said, "You know, I'm your husband. I'm your prophet. I'm your priest. If you go to all men of God in this life, they can bless you all you want. If I say no blessing, Opari, she cannot, it has died. Let Archbishop, Archbishop, that was of those days, yes. Let him, assume he left the bottle of oil behind. Mix it with Bishop Oyedepozu, W.F. Kumuyi, A. Adeboye. They mixed it, baked it, heated it very well. Make sure the anointing was hot. And they are pointing, and you just, I blow like this. The whole thing will just cool. Because when God is checking distance, I'm closer to you than they are. You know why? God doesn't go to church. That's what I'm trying to say. When he wants to check how people are behaving, he goes home. He goes to their workplaces. That's what he does. That's where he starts from. Therefore, we must not let our Christianity be a day of a fast. Our lives must be fasted all the time. I hope you've gotten my point. Okay, let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks.